John 6, verse 52 to 59. Jesus is teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. The Jews are arguing with him, and he is preaching, teaching, reasoning, explaining. And this is the climax, the finish, the conclusion of his discourse. I want to look at this passage twice. Today I want to look at it in this way, the technical side, the meaning of Christ's words. And there is desperate need, because these words have been grossly misunderstood and misused. So, verse 52 to 59. In 51, Jesus had said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" There was an uproar in the synagogue. You can see the Jews turning to each other, arguing, reasoning, looking round. They can't agree among themselves, but they certainly agree about this. "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" And Jesus responds. Does he back down? Does he back off? Does he say, "Well, I didn't quite mean that"? No. Quite the opposite. If it's possible to use these words, Jesus is even more categorical, more dogmatic, more firm. Of course, he can't be more any of those things, but he puts it as bluntly as it's possible to put it. "I tell you the truth, verily," a solemn asseveration once again, there's been several in this discourse, "unless you can eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." He goes even further, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever." So, Jesus doesn't back off. He drives his doctrine home even more solidly, more firmly. But the Jews, of course, just did not understand. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? They're a living example, testimony, demonstration, proof, if you like, of 1 Corinthians 2, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit. They just cannot understand. They will not understand, but they cannot understand. And so it is today. When the gospel is preached, the natural man can only cavil with it. He can only fight against it. It's a miracle indeed that any sinner is converted. It takes the sovereign, irresistible grace of God to do it. Now, how should we interpret these words? Eating the flesh and drinking the blood of Christ, feeding on him. Well, there is the literal way of interpreting it. The Jews are masters at the literal way. In verse 34, they'd said, when he mentions bread, brings up bread, Christ brings up bread, they say, "Sir, from now on, give us this bread." They're talking naturally. Verse 52, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Thinking literally, of course. But we've seen this already in John chapter 2. Christ talking about destroying the temple and I will raise it again. They thought he meant the physical temple. He was talking about his body. John chapter 3, "Your man must be born again." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb. Physically, you see, literally. John 4, Christ speaking to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. No, I'll give you water. Springing up in you, a well. Oh, give me this water, she said. It'll stop me coming out every day to get this water. John 2, John 3, John 4, and now John 6. That's what we have here in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And that's how it is here. The Jews can only think literally. But Jesus says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. And he is not talking literally. Is he talking mystically? Now many think, millions think, that he is talking mystically. They think he is talking about the Lord's Supper, the communion. They've turned it into the Mass. And you have to eat the flesh and drink the blood of Christ in the bread and in the cup. The mystical interpretation of this. We've had 1,000 years now of the Roman system and more of more than 1,000 years of this transubstantiation. But Christ said, I am the door. I am the vine. He is the lion. He is the lamb. Christ is the covenant. Isaiah 42, 49. But none of this is mystical in this sense. We're not eating the flesh of Christ by taking the communion bread. We're not drinking the blood of Christ by taking the cup at communion, whatever it is. The communion is 1,000,000 miles away from this passage. Christ has not even instituted it yet. This has nothing to do with communion. It's not a literal interpretation, nor a mystical interpretation. But it is a spiritual interpretation that Christ intends. Look at verse 55. My flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Real. True. True. If you go back to verse 32, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. We're going back to the manna and Moses. I am the bread of life. This is not a shadow, a picture, an illustration. This is the substance, the true, the real bread. Not shadow, but the substance. It's not temporal bread, but eternal bread. It's not temporal sustenance, it's eternal sustenance. And that's the interpretation that is governing this passage. When Christ says we must eat his flesh and we must drink his blood, when he says that those who do are in him and he is in them, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him, he is talking spiritually. And we know exactly what he means. Take verse 40. In verse 40, my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now go to verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. It's as clear as noonday. Christ is promising eternal life and that he will raise that man up at the last day. And that man, that woman, is the one who eats the flesh and drinks the blood of Christ. Or in verse 40, looking to the Son and believing in him. Verse 47, I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. Verse 54 again, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. It's faith, saving faith, looking to Christ, trusting Christ. That's what we have here. In verse 54, when Christ says, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and so on. Whoever savingly trusts me, looks to me, hopes in me, rests in me. In verse 47 and 54 and verse 48, all the same. Verse 56, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. It's saving faith. It's trusting Christ. So, Isaiah 45, look unto me and be saved all the ends of the earth. Verse 22. Isaiah 55, 1 and on. O everyone that thirsts, come ye to the waters, come and buy without money and without price. It's not literal. It's not mystical. It's spiritual. And the call here is for saving faith. And if a man, a woman does have saving faith, trust in Christ, looking to Christ, his flesh, Christ's flesh, Christ's blood will be their righteousness and their salvation. I, by God's grace, do look to Jesus. Do you? I do trust him. Do you? His flesh, his blood washes me from my sin, and I am clothed in his righteousness. Are you looking to him, my friend, in that way? Everyone who does look to Christ, trusts in Christ, eats his flesh, drinks his blood in this way, has everlasting life. He is in Christ, and Christ is in him, not literally, but spiritually. And he will be raised up at the last day and enjoy everlasting bliss. Why do I speak in the third person? Let me speak directly to you. If you look to Christ in this way, eat him and drink him in this way, you have eternal life and will enter eternal bliss. But verse 53, there is the negative. I tell you the truth, unless you can eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. You will not be raised up at the last day to everlasting bliss, but to everlasting torment. I warn you of it. That is the first discourse on the technical side. How should we interpret these words? Not literally, not mystically, but spiritually. But I won't leave it there. I'm not just interested in the technicalities. I ask again, are you looking to Jesus, trusting him? If not, do so now. If you believe on him and trust him, you have everlasting life, everlasting salvation. You are right with God. You are washed from your sin. But if you will not trust him, you will perish, I warn you. So trust him now, I plead with you.